If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41, please. Isaiah chapter 41. I'd like to request prayer this morning also. I failed to mention it to Brother Steve for the Goins family. Brother Alvin Goins led the singing at Pleasant View for years. And he passed away a couple years ago. And then his wife, Miss Louise, has passed away now with COVID. They didn't have room for her in the hospitals in Kingsport, so they moved her, took her to Lonesome Pine, and evidently did all that they could. And she's in heaven now, and her service will be tomorrow. Pray for that family, please. Isaiah chapter 41. Let's stand for just a moment, read this one verse together. The word of God said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Would you read that verse with me? Let's read it out loud. Are you ready? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Thank you. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for folks that are willing to work all night and then come and let you use them, Lord, in the service today. I pray, Father, today that you would strengthen us. Help us, our Father, to be a blessing and an encouragement to our people. And God will give you glory. We love you, Lord. And it's all because you first loved us. Lord, I pray that in these days, Lord, you would help us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. I pray, Father, that you'll just bless your people. Help us and give us grace to stand, and having done all to stand, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I have this verse on my heart. I was in a situation last week where I was trying to find something to encourage someone. And God allowed me to find this verse. And as it happens many times, you're trying to encourage someone else, and God will come along and encourage you. And I began to chew and meditate. And even last night, I thought I had it memorized, but I realized when we was reading it a while ago, I was leaving out the yays. But anyway, it's a great, great verse of Scripture. I have a book somewhere that is entitled "The Gospel According to Isaiah." And Isaiah does a good job of presenting the Lord Jesus in his prophecy. But here in this verse of Scripture, I want to look at it today, and I want to thank you, those of you that were here last Sunday, for staying with me. And I got to thinking, you know, since we're not having Sunday night, what would it hurt to stay a little longer on Sunday morning? And another prayer request is Miss Fran Rose. She texted me, and she said that they watched the video last week, her and Brother Nick, and said, "We wish you'd have just kept going." Well, that's encouraging, amen. I appreciate people that are hungry for the Word of God. I don't know what we would title it, Brother Richard, so just put down Isaiah 41:10. Let them go find out what it is. Amen. I really don't have a title, but I believe God wants to encourage us in this verse of Scripture. I want to lay a little bit of groundwork this morning. In the book of Job, you find a verse or two of Scripture, Job chapter 3, where Job said, "For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly fear," this is how God put this in my heart, Isaiah 41:10 said, "Fear thou not." But Job said, "The thing which I greatly feared is come unto me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." He said, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet." Notice these last three words, "yet trouble came." Isaiah 41:10 may not mean a lot to you this morning, but I would to God that everybody would put this in your spiritual bank and realize trouble will come. There'll come a time, whether it's physical trouble, whether it's financial trouble, whether it's marital trouble, family trouble, trouble will come in our lives. And even in the lives of God's people. Job was a man that was a righteous man and eschewed evil. He was a praying man. And here he is, beloved, listen, in the ashes. If you read the earlier part of the chapter, kind of wishing that the day of his birth would have never come. The word of God said here, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." I looked up the word dismayed. I'm just trying to lay a little bit of groundwork. And the primitive root in the Hebrew language means to gaze at or about. Have you ever been around somebody that was so troubled? It was almost as if they were just looking off into space. It means by implication to inspect or consider or to be bewildered, to depart, be dim, or be dismayed. The Word of God tells us not to fear. The Word of God tells us not to be dismayed. Can I tell you, when trouble comes, that's a tall order. It's a tall order. But God, in the Scripture, in the text today, gives us three things that I believe with all of my heart, when the trouble comes, can help us along the way. I want to focus on those three things today and ask you to pray for us. The first thing I want to focus on today is God's presence. The Word of God said here, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am thy God." What stuck out to me last week, the very first time that I read this passage of Scripture, is that twice in the Scripture you have the phrase, "I am," and three times in this one passage you have the phrase, "I will." What I'm trying to tell you this morning is, according to the Word of God said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said boldly, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, if we realize when we're facing trouble that God is right there. He's right there. I know there are times in the believer's life when we say, "Where are you, Lord?" Those are the times, beloved, when we must dismiss our feelings. Amen. and look at the Word of God in faith and say, God, I know where you are. You moved in here in 1987. And you said you would never leave me. You would never forsake me. God, you're right here with me. I believe with all of my heart, Isaiah was on to something. When he talked about, God said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Not I was, not I will be, but I am thy God. I am with thee. God's presence. I want you to think about the children of Israel as they're running from the Egyptians. Think about when they got to the Red Sea. I believe there were many that were bewildered. I believe there were many, beloved, listen, that were confused. They began to say things like, well, wouldn't we be better off just keep making the bricks? And they didn't realize. You remember when God called Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And Moses held that rod out and God parted the Red Sea. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, you and I need to remember when our back is against the wall and we see no way out, his back was against the cross so that he could make us a way out. We may not get out of the situation, but I tell you what we will do, we'll get through it. By the grace of God, his presence. I thought about the three Hebrew children. They were told if they wouldn't bow to this image, when they hear the playing, the flute playing, the sackbut and the clarinet, if you don't bow to this image, you'll be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. They said, well, one thing we know, O king, God's able to deliver us. But whether he delivers us or not, I like it, Brother Steve, what you said. Glory to God, God's able to deliver us. But whether he delivers us or not, we're not going to bow. And we're not going to bend. And they found out real quickly, they wouldn't even burn. They threw it in the furnace. You say, preacher, what made the difference? I tell you what. That old king looked down in there. He said, I see, did not we throw three men bound into the burning fiery furnace? I see four men loose and walking around, and the form of the fourth was likened to the Son of God. I'm telling you, listen, the heat may be turned up, and the situation may look like it's going south, but as long as I know he's with me, his presence makes all the difference in the world. Went back in my mind to those few minutes that I spent with my dad's body alone, just a few minutes after he left this world. If you would have walked in the room or stood outside the door, you would have probably said, where's that preacher's faith? As I was crying out, Daddy, Daddy, you see, I'm human and my heart breaks just like yours does. Do you know what? In just a few moments, God helped me to realize Daddy's home. And Brother Steve, you said it about being too far down the path. We're well on our way, brother. We're well on our way to the house. God's presence in that room made all the difference in the world. I was not sorrowing as others which have no hope, because I knew I'd see my Father again. Precious people, saints of God that we've buried around here in the last 8 years, I'll see them again. And the next time I see them, they won't be limping. The next time I see them, beloved, they won't even be wearing glasses. Amen. Won't need a hearing aid. The next time we see them, they'll have a body likened to the Son of God. What a blessed thought. I remember Elijah's servant. Elijah said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? They were surrounded." Elijah said, "Lord, open his eyes." And God opened his eyes, and they were surrounded by chariots of fire. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. There's somebody bigger than the enemy standing with me this morning. If you're a born-again child of God, there's somebody bigger than the enemy standing with you this morning. David, I want to just give you a little thought. I'm going on something. I don't have scripture for it. But I want you to think about human nature for just a moment. David was a man after God's own heart. You remember in the scripture, he told Saul, he said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." You remember that? But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Now, David didn't have a 10 millimeter. Maybe you don't even know what that is, but it's a pretty powerful pistol. I'll name another one. You know what that is. David didn't have a 44 Magnum. And I have one of each of those. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If there was a bear charging me, there'd be a little bit of fear in my heart and in my life. If there was a lion, either one of those pistols, as powerful as they are, Brother Steve, the shot would have to be placed perfectly to stop a lion that was charging you. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, well, when we get to heaven, we'll know. But David was a man that walked with God and knew that God was with him. I don't believe that means that he was a man that had no emotion or no fear. You say, "Pastor, here, God, let God just back it up with Scripture." David said, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee." The man after God's own heart, no doubt, beloved, listen, knowing that God had been with him with the bear, God had been with him with the lion, and that giant will be no different. God will be with me when I face that giant. The Word of God said, he said, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee." I want you to know something, beloved. God's presence makes all the difference in the world. I am, not I will be, not I was, but I am. I am. The second thing I see in this passage of Scripture this morning, not only do I see God's presence that should help us with the fear. You remember, I believe it was the book of 1 John that said, "Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear thou not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God." God's presence. Secondly, God's promise. Can I say this morning, pastor could make you a promise, and for one reason or another, not make good on that promise. But I have a heavenly Father, Brother Rick. He can't miss it. If he makes us a promise, beloved, you can mark her down. And three times in the Word of God right here, in one verse of Scripture, twice he said, "I am." Speaking of his presence. And three times he said, "I will." I got a blessing out of this. I was pretty good in math in school. I can add 2 plus 3. That's 5. 5 in the Word of God is the number of grace. With His presence and His promise, we can make it. We can keep our testimony. We can keep shining as lights. We could stay on the firing line till one of two things happens. Either Jesus calls us to be with Him, or He comes and takes the entire church all in one load to be with Him. What did God say in His promise? He said, I will strengthen thee. I have been with people, Brother Doyle, that were so overwhelmed that their knees buckled. God said, I'll strengthen thee. The Word of God said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Word of God said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's some of you here today, and I'm not going to go into the situations, but I've watched God strengthen you, or you would not be sitting here today had God not strengthened you and carried you in times when you were so weak you couldn't do it alone. His promise said, I will strengthen thee. Secondly, He said, I will help thee. You know what I believe the Lord likes? I believe He likes it when we admit it. You see, in our pride, we can walk around like, I got this. I believe God loves it when His youngins come and say, God, I can't, but You can. I need help. The Word of God said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I like to do this every once in a while. I don't know why God put it on my heart this morning. I wanted to look for the first mention of the word help in the Bible. Does anybody know where it is? You're going to like this Eve. It's when God told Adam, I'm going to make a help meet. Glory to God, I praise God for my help both ways. Say amen. Help from above and a help meet. You say, now, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? I tell you what, if you've got a good wife, you better shout. Amen. My grandfather said years ago, he is a plain preacher. He said, God made anything any better than woman. He kept it for Himself. One day he said, there ain't nothing no better than a good woman. He said, there ain't nothing no worse than a bad one. That's just the way he preached. You see, Brother Steve, a lot of people wouldn't understand what I'm going to say, but there's somebody closer to me than Miss Eve. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send Brother Grizzle the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And if you look up that the meaning, he's called a paraclete, which is one called alongside to help. Glory to God, He wants to help us. I see His promise. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. Then I see this. He said, I will uphold thee. You remember when Peter said to Jesus, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. Y'all remember that? And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat. And he started towards Jesus. The Bible talked about the winds being boisterous and the waves. And no doubt Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. I believe if there's anything in the world God would have us to get out of this message today, it would be this. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the I Am. Keep your eyes on the I Will. I will uphold thee. Peter started sinking. He didn't pull out Dr. Bottle Stopper's prayer and start reading it. some of the stuff they call prayer. The other day, somebody in Congress, a man and a woman, God help us. I said, God help us. Somebody sent me something the other day, said the reason we don't say amen and a woman in church is because we sing hymns and not hers. God help us. God help us. The verse of Scripture is still in the Bible. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp the authority over the man. You can take that for whatever it's worth. It's still in the Bible. And I believe that's one of the reasons we're in so much trouble. The average home nowadays is being run by a woman. Probably the average country. There might be a man that's a figurehead, but God only knows what's going on behind the scenes. God's promise, he said, I'll uphold thee. Let me read this and I'll close this morning with the last thing. In Psalm 37, the Bible said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Brother Preston, God didn't say you wasn't ever going to fall. He didn't say, Pastor, wasn't ever going to fall. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's a blessing, ain't it, Brother Grizzle? He's got me in his hand. And he said, there wasn't no man. Ain't no devil. Ain't no man can pluck me out of his hand. I see a couple of things that's helping me now not to be afraid. Number one, God's presence, not to be dismayed. Number two, God's promise. The third thing the Lord showed me in this passage of Scripture, and I'll give this to you quickly, that's helping me in times of despair, distress, is God's purity. You say, Pastor, where did you get that in the text? It said there in verse number 10, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Everybody hold out your right hand. Got it? Hold it out there. I would like to see the hands of everybody that's ever made a mistake with that hand. Would you raise it up there? Everybody that's ever made a mistake. Now look at God's. When you look at God's hand, you're looking at a hand that never said oops, that never made one mistake in his entire existence. So, Brother Gary, if I get sideways with God because I'm hurt, in essence, what I'm doing is saying, God, that hand has made a mistake. He can't. He won't. He never has. And he never will. Thank you, Sister Jerry, for that big grin, honey. He never will. Never will he make a mistake. The right hand of his righteousness. Back over yonder in Genesis. Back over in the book of Genesis when God was fixing to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? Abraham was interceding. And I will stop and say this, just interject this right here. We need some more intercessors in our country. People of prayer. Abraham was interceding. He said, God, he said, would you destroy the city if there were 50 righteous people in the city? God said, no, I won't destroy the city. There's 50 righteous. I believe he went down to 40, to 30, and to 10. God said he wouldn't destroy. But in the midst of all of that conversation, Abraham said this, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I wonder, when the time comes, if God wouldn't have us just to hide back in the back of our heart somewhere the words, Lord, you're always right. Brother Ralph, that's easier said than done. But he's always right. He's never made a mistake. I'm not going to take the time to do it. But I'm going to beg you to go home and read 2 Samuel. Let's turn to it. I'll just read a couple verses. I want you to read the whole chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Turn there with me for just a moment. 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is a prayer of David. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm getting there. I'm in the book. I just got to find the chapter. How many's there? If you're there, say amen. You're ahead of me. 2 Samuel 22. Look at verse 31. Yeah, Lord, you wanted me to read this. I was going to skip the whole thing, but you wanted me to read this. In verse 31, the Bible said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. No wonder David said, one time I'm afraid, I'm just going to keep trusting. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. You say, Pastor, you started this message out with Job. You remember Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. In Job chapter number 3, Job is sitting in the ashes. He's scraping the boils. His children are gone. And he's saying, it'd been better if I'd have never been born. But there's a verse in the Bible that said, and we know that we there is God's people. That's not written to the heathen. That's written to Christians. Said, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. That night in the bedroom, Daddy loved God. Pastor loved God. I didn't understand. My heart was hurting. Job in chapter number 3, he hasn't stopped loving God. As a matter of fact, his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, you speak as a foolish woman. He said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thought about Job in the end. Many times in the book of Job, he poured out his complaint. Everybody needs friends like Job's friends, don't they? But when you get to Job chapter 42, Job is no longer looking at the one that's sitting in the ashes. He's looking to the one that's sitting in the heavens. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. It could be, Brother Steve, I'm not trying to put words in Brother Job's mouth, but it could have been that he realized in chapter 42, God, you've been right all along. You always do right. His way is perfect. And the Word of God said, Job prayed for his friends and God forgave him. The Word of God said that Job, God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. I'm going to promise you something. You can take this to the bank. Every born again child of God that's sitting in this building, God is going to bless the latter end more than the beginning. I don't know how we're leaving out of here, but we're leaving. Say amen. We didn't come down here to stay. We're leaving. But I know this, the latter end is going to be blessed so much more than the beginning. And what God wants us to see, just three simple things. Number one, His presence. Number two, His promise. And number three, His purity. You and I are absolutely capable of blowing it, but He has never gotten it wrong. He always gets it right. Brother Aaron, you and Miss Amanda, come and sing us a song this morning. If I could sing, I'd sing this little song, but I'll spare you and just read it. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, Leah, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all confusion, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Listen to this verse. Bigger than all the giants of fear and unbelief, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. I hope today we could go out of here and say, God, you're bigger than politics. God, you're bigger than COVID-19. God, you're bigger than the problems that I'm enduring right now. You're bigger. And look to Him and lean on Him and love Him and realize when you see that nail-scarred hand, that hand has never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Thank you for coming, for praying. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.